Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. The final regular season podcast episode of the hashtag Saints Twitter podcast. Not the last podcast we're going to do, but you couldn't have scripted a better way for this season for the Saints under head coach Dennis Allen to end. Poetic, bro. Poetic in all fashions, losing to the Carolina Panthers 10-7.
Fitting.
You now have the team sitting their first round pick to the Eagles. That's likely to be the 10th pick, but I think maybe depending on some outcomes of some games that could change. But like right now, it's slotted as the 10th pick in the draft to be going to the Eagles. And I watched this game, and I was watching this game, and I know Pete Carmichael's going to get all the blame, which he should. He should get a fair share of blame of how the offense
absolutely
performed, especially, you know, after the first drive or whatever, especially in the second half. But, you know, the way that some people come to, like, defend Dennis Allen of, like, it's not DA's fault, it's Pete's fault. Well, DA fucking picked Pete Carmichael to be his offensive coordinator when Pete Carmichael had already told the team, I don't want this job. And I just watched this team and I just had this thought of, man, as long as DA's out the helm, bro, like, it's going to be some dark days. It's going to be these lowly 7-10, what up, 6-11 type of seasons. And I think I'm not saying this to be pessimistic. I'm saying this that as a Saints fan, y'all got to buckle in. You got to buckle in because it's not going to be a good next couple of seasons. Like, it's going to be kind of dreadful, bro. Like, I'm not looking forward to it.
Well, you know, the old head Saints fans will be like, oh, well, look, you weren't here for the Bum Phillips days and the Mora era and all that stuff, or the Mike Ditka era and all that. But it's like, we want better. It's like, we want better, man. Like, we want a good to great team. We want to see exciting football. We want to wake up on Sunday excited. We don't want to live into this relativistic, like, oh, well, it could be worse. Like, nobody wants to be that type of fan, bro. Like, that's gross. You know what I'm saying? We want better, man. And, look, you can say what you want about DA. Look, you can try to look at the glass half full. His defense did get better over the season. You know, the whole team really played hard for the season. They weathered through a lot of injuries. You can look at the glass half full, but, like, take a realistic look. What you're going to get, I'm telling you, what you're going to get with DA is, at best, your average defensive head coach that we see in the league, you know, all over the place, where they're good enough, you know, to get you 7, 8, 9 wins, good enough to maybe sneak in the playoffs here and there and go one and done, and then get fired after a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen this story all over the league over and over.
Vic Fangio, bro. Like,
Vic Fangio. One of the best DCs in the NFL for decades. Wade Phillips. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen these people. You know, it takes a different thing to run a team and an organization. The head coach sets the philosophy on offense. What are we going to do? Are we going to be an attacking team? Are we going to be this? You set the strategy for the game that coming. You know, are we gonna attack the zone coverage? Are we gonna do this in man? Are we gonna run take some hill. Or people, you are the head coach. You come with that stuff. That's not what they've been doing, bro. Like they have not, they have not been maximizing their talent on offense. We've seen too many games this year where Taysom Hill was underutilized. We've seen too many games this year where Alvin Kamara is either misused or underutilized. We've seen too many games where there's no cohesive offensive plan to attack a defense. And you could say, well, that's on Pete. Well, who's Pete's boss? You know what I'm saying? Who decided to hire Pete? Who's giving Pete direction? Who's coaching up Pete? Like, you know what I'm saying? Who's like, that's what the head coach is supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? He's supposed to be, not supposed to be like, hey, Pete, you go ahead and handle offense. We good. No, you're supposed to, like, you're supposed to develop your coaches. You know what I'm saying? And from what I've seen, DA ain't doing that. He's not doing that.
I can unequivocally tell you DA not doing it.
Exactly. And like, from what I understand, the way Pete Carmichael works, he's more of like a consensus offensive coordinator where he'll go to, I forgot who his guy is, the QB coach or whatever. He'll go to him, get some plays. He'll go to Doug Marrone. He'll go to wide receiver coach. Shit, even Andy Dalton was throwing some plays at him. And that's nice, like to listen to some players and get plays and stuff like that. But it's like, you have to have an offense. What's your offense?
Yeah, what's your identity? Offense?
Right. And you have to come up with that, man. And I just don't see that with Pete. And I don't see that with DA either. So it's like, man, it's like a man without a country. It's just not going to work. And for them to lose this game, I mean, Sam Darnold was 5 of 15.
Say the stat line, Ryan.
Let me pull this up just so I could read it and be exact. Omundo.
But you're going to say it, right? I know you're going to say it. I don't think this is going to change anything, but like, if anything, this should have like really fanned the flames for the hashtag fire Dennis Allen movement, bro. Because how do you, one, get swept by the Panthers, who in week two or whenever you play them, was week two in the season? Yeah, week three when you play them, week three in the season. The Panthers had no business winning that game. No business. Won it.
But they played a broke back Jameis.
DA's decision, by the way. And to lose this game, when Sam Darnold had, I don't know if you got the stats.
Five for 15 for 43 yards and two interceptions. Like, you can't tell me you can't come up with a strategy for that?
One of the interceptions came like a minute left in the game or a minute and a half left of the game by Daniel Sorensen, who returned it, where you should have just been able to, you know, move the ball and get into field goal range to win the game.
We was at 55 and couldn't move the ball. Could not move the ball. And look, there's a lot of problems going around. Andy Dalton was ass today for the most part. The blocking was up and down as that's been, you know, most of the season. It comes down to the whole offensive philosophy and the way players play. And it's just so frustrating because there are so many built-in excuses. Yes, the offensive line was banged up.
Tons.
Banged up. Even Penny, he got hurt, had to leave at some point. I'm just so glad to see the season over, bro. I'm so glad. Only thing I'm missing is the Zooms with the fellas, bro.
That's it. And this is a recap pod where we got to talk about a lot because it's not just this game. There was a plethora of Saints things that's come out the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
I want to start with the Michael Thomas contract we work in and all that because we talked about it a lot when the whole news happened earlier this season where he was going to miss the season because of the dislocated toe. And we kind of went on our tangent, or I went on my tangent about like the Saints medical staff. And if you just look at the writing on the wall and you can give the folks the contract breakdowns and what it means and all that. But if you just look at the writing on the wall, it does look like Michael Thomas has played his last down and game with the Saints. And they've pretty much been able to rework his contract where they can potentially release or trade him, although I don't know how much trade value he has, where the sap calorie financial blow isn't that harsh. And it's so I think for me as a fan, it's so disappointing to see or to think about that when you think about going back to that, you know, the 2019 season where he broke the record? Was that 2018?
19. It was 19.
19, right? And just remember how he looked against the Titans that game, and then injury in 2020 because he was in a game that he shouldn't have been in. They rushed him to come back. There was icy feelings and all that happens, and he finally gets back on the field this year, looks outstanding, and just like he never left in week one against the Falcons in the second half, plays against the Falcons or plays against the Bucks, and then plays against Carolina. He injures himself again. And then, oh, he had turf toe, you know, just turf toe. Oh, nope, wasn't turf toe. His toe was actually fucking dislocated. And you had a player who was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, was a top 2-3-1 wide receiver in the league, where you're debating, is it Michael Thomas? Is it Devontae Adams? Like, he was that good, bro. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That does not happen for us as Saints fans. Like, that's a right. such a rarity.
Yeah.
But he was that guy. And just for if this is the end of his career, it's just such a sad, you know, just a sad, disappointing way for his career as a Saint to end this way, this is what this means.
Very sad, man. And it, you know, I just said on the last pod, that was like one of the one moves that I wanted to see them make, is just try to find a way, just take another, it would have been a gamble, but just another way to keep him one more year and see how it works. Because the Saints need him. Like, they need that type of player on offense.
Absolutely.
And you know, he was just one of those great players that I like watching. So it sucks, but I mean, it is what it is, man. He's basically been cut on paper already. So that's what that move was. It's what had to be done for them to move him without too much pain. So, you know, the writing's on the wall. It's going to happen pretty soon, probably within the next couple of weeks, probably within the week after the Super Bowl or sometime like that. But he's going to get let go. And some people say, well, will we trade him? Probably not. It's possible, but like, it's a whole thing with the June 1st and after June 1st and all that. It's complicated. My thing is, I doubt he wants to be traded. They probably just do him a solid and let him go find where he wants to go. So, and that just, you know, it opens up a hole, man. We're going to be back here scouting wide receivers in the draft again. You know what I'm saying? Doing that again.
Like, I can't even be excited about the draft because of no first round pick, bro.
That moves on to the next segue. Uh-oh.
All right.
About Sean Payton.
Sean Payton, Adam Schefter reported that the Denver Broncos reached out to the Saints and received permission from the Saints for them to talk to and interview Sean Payton. Officially, Sean Payton cannot officially interview with the Denver Broncos in person, face-to-face, until January 17th. Mm-hmm. However, they can still talk, but like, whatever, it's weird. Like, and you'd be a fool and dummy to think that back conversations have not already started to some degree. I want to say this on the pod, and I don't think I'm blowing any sources when I say this, because it's been triple fucking quadruple trek by now. But the Saints asking price for Sean Payton, give or take, I'm going to say this on the podcast so everyone can hear it, is a first round pick in three third round picks. Which, if you just take a step back and think about it, that'd be a good haul. It would be a way bigger haul than I ever anticipated them getting from Sean Payton a couple of months ago. And it seems like in theory, the Broncos may be willing to meet that price. Cause at that point, they'd be trading around the first round pick that they got from the 49ers, which is going to be a low first round pick, and potentially then trade three threes. And from a Broncos perspective, you kind of understand it, because it's like it kind of all goes back to what? Sunken fallacy costs, right? You already gave up so much draft capital and so much money to pay to acquire Russell Wilson. Like, in your mind, you're like, I gotta do whatever it fucking takes to fix him. Like, this has to work. And if you feel like Sean Payton's the person to do it, then from that, again, from the team perspective, I understand it. And from the Saints perspective, if you can, and I don't even want to get into the whole, you know, Sean wants to come back, because I do think that that is and or was legitimate. I do think him returning back to New Orleans was a thing that he was at one point considering pretty recently. But if you're able to get a first round pick, albeit a low first round pick, and 3 third round picks or something close to that for Sean Payton, it's a good haul. My worry as a fan is this. It goes back to the whole Dennis Allen thing too, as well, is who is making these draft choices if that trade goes through.
Exactly.
Because if you listen to Al Breer, if you just listen to a lot of rumors in the league, Sean wants to take somebody if he goes to a new team. It could be Jeff Ireland. It could be Kai Hartley. Someone might go with Sean. But if you're telling me that the Saints get a first-round pick and 3 threes, but Jeff Ireland's not – and I'm not saying Jeff Ireland's perfect because he's had some misses. Oh, yeah. But I would rather Jeff Ireland be in the fucking room making some of those draft choices compared to Ryan Pace or fucking Terry Fontenot. I know that for one thing, bro.
So yeah.
This trade, to me, it feels very – Jimmy Graham and Brandon Cooks-ish. And let me explain. So we look back on that Jimmy Graham trade, and Max Unger was a great player, and in a vacuum, he helped solidify the middle of the line and all that. But the reason why the Saints are not viewed as winners of that trade is they completely fucking bungled the pick with Stephon Anthony.
Completely.
Bungled it. And then, you know, so... But then you go back to the Brandon Cooks trade, and you get a low first round pick from the Patriots. And in that draft, you're able to draft Marshawn Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk. Yep. So and then, you know, what all the other picks they hit in 2017, which one of the greatest draft classes of all time, which most of the players ain't even with the team no more. But this, like, all I'm saying is that if you get this haul for Sean Payton, it all comes back to the fucking picks. If you hit on those picks, while albeit you're not going to replace, you're not going to have a Hall of Fame level head coach on the sideline.
Right.
If you're able to get young talent at position, again, the Saints have talents all across the board, bro. Like they have talent across the board. They also have a lot of holes across the board.
Exactly.
And if you can get young, good players to fill those holes, and maybe the talent of the team can kind of rise above the coaching or lack thereof, if DA is at the helm, then you might have something to work with. But if you trade Sean Payton and you miss on them picks, bro,
man,
then that gets dark as fuck.
Don't give me no bullshit, you know, no bullshit players, bro. Players injured and all that shit. Some fucking DE from Timbuktu University. No, man, get some good fucking players with fucking, you know, with trophies on the wall that did the damn thing. Good tape.
I want them from Georgia. I want them from Alabama. Like,
good tape. Give me good tape. Peyton Turner was a fucking healthy scratch today.
Come on, talk about it, bro.
And what's kind of crazy is
he was improving the season.
He was improving. He finally started. He was starting to show a little something. He wasn't playing great. But he was showing a little something. And you a healthy scratch on the last fucking game of the season. Why? I want somebody.
Like this, in a meaningless game, this is a game where you're supposed to be evaluating talent for next season, evaluating talent to see what you have on the roster. You're in an evaluation mode, bruh. And it is unfathomable to me that a second-year player who didn't play a lot of last season, didn't play a lot of this season, had showed some flashes and needs all the reps he can get, he can't get on the field in a meaningless game? What?
Oh. And then two first.
Oh, let's Let's talk about Tuesday.
Oh, Lord. Lord have mercy.
So you invest two first-round picks in a defensive end. Maybe they should just stop drafting defensive ends in the first round. Maybe that's the thing.
I don't know.
But you invest two first-round picks in this player who this season, by far, is his worst season as a pro. He finishes the year ejected. He finished the year with a half a sack, and the half a sack doesn't even tell the full story, Ryan. If you watch the games, I'm about to sound like Sherman this bitch right now. He has little to no impact on the game or on the defense at all. During today's game against the Panthers, when he almost sacked Sam Darnold and he got out of it and he fell on the ground, he got up just huffing, bro.
Oh, that was me out there, bro.
He has been playing. It's one thing to come into camp out of shape. That was something on our radar during the training camp, bro. We didn't understand it, bro. That's one thing to come into camp out of shape. How you don't play yourself into shape during the football season, nigga? Like, how is it week 18? How is it week 18 and you out here just hopping, running? I need to know, man.
And it's just for him as a just for your own greed. In a contract year, you could have got, well, look, he probably already got a little life-changing money, but you could have got triple life-changing money if you just played slightly average. You know what I'm saying?
Slightly average, bro.
If he got 4.5 sacks on the season, he was about to get broke off. Just 4.5 sacks. And just look good in a couple plays. Just look dominant. You know how he does. He would have two games a year where it's like, woof, he just dominating. You couldn't do that. Couldn't get that out of him, even for his own selfish reasoning. Just such a disappointing player, bro. Disappointing, man. Like, all that talent and size, it just, I don't know what to say about him, man. Just go somewhere and prosper, bro.
I know what to say. Don't you dare bring him fucking back. Don't you dare do it.
I don't want to see him.
I don't even care if it's like a 1 year, like prove it. No.
I'd pay Justin Houston. Anybody. Justin Houston about 90 years old. I'll bring him. Man. I mean, he might get you better snaps than that, man. Fuck that shit. No.
Ugh. So I know I ranted a lot about the whole Sean Payton trade compensation thing, but I wanted to get back to it to hear your thoughts about that.
Oh yeah. Nah, man, look, my whole thing was at least get us a first. I didn't want to hear shit about a second or 2 seconds and this and that. Get us a first round pick. That way, at least this year, we can have at least sort of full draft. I don't know how many other picks we have throughout the draft.
That's a good question. I'll look it up. I'll let you talk, though. I'll look it up right now.
But yeah, so, you know, I mean, if you can get a first, and say they don't get 3/3, but get 2/3, you know, that's fine, man. Because, look, Sean Payton not coming back, you know, so at least you can get what you can get. You have flexibility in the draft. It's going to be a low, I mean, it might be the 32nd.
Could be
the 31st or 32nd, you know, picking the first round. But, you know, it is what it is. That's where you would have been hoping to pick anyway. You know, that's the best you could do. And, you know, it'll close the book on this situation. I'm ready to just kind of close the book on this whole Sean Payton thing that's kind of hovering. You close the book. Look, Saints going to do what they're going to do with Dennis Allen, bro. Like,
yep.
I don't know how you Loomis and you go sit in your office after this game and then you take a look at the totality of the season.
Don't know it, bro.
And you feel good? Like, you feel good going into next year with this?
Get me hot, bro.
I don't know how, bro.
So they the picks that they have in for the upcoming draft 2023, they have a pick in round two. Basically, it's round two, round three, round four, one, two, and round five. Thanks for the CD trade, by the way.
Thank
Philadelphia.
Thank you.
a whole ass fifth round pick. These niggas getting me upset all over again, bro. Be a Philadelphia. Or this, a man who was leading the league in fucking interceptions.
But and they celebrate he coming back all by hour. They're like, yeah, yeah, game changer.
Man was vilified 5 minutes after he got traded. Bro. So 2, 3, 4, 2 and 5, round 5, and 1 in round 7. So if you are able to get the Broncos third rounder, like at that point, you know, so this is all in theory, right? But if you get a Broncos third rounder and the San Francisco first rounder from via the Broncos, you'd be looking at a pick in round 1, a pick in round 2, 2 picks in round 3, and then 4, 5, and 7. But here's the thing, I'm going to say this too. I don't care if it's Jeff Ireland, Ryan Pace. I don't care who it is. Unless you guys are not a player away. This team is not a player away from anything. I don't want to see no shit where y'all trading a 2 and a 3 to, unless it's a quarterback, bro. Unless you trying to go up and get a CJ Stroud or a Bryce Young, like y'all need to just be patient and just stay where the fuck you are and stop with this trading up shit, bro. Like y'all got holes.
Please.
Holes.
I mean, defensive line is in shambles.
Shambles, bro.
When you might a free agent. A Davenport free agent. You got Peyton Turner as a healthy scratch end of the year, so I don't know what you're playing with him.
What's he, nigga? I don't even know what he's in this shit right now.
Defensive tackle was already trash. So it's trash. Like tons of work. And that's just the D line. Offensive line, Ruiz coming off of list, Frank. You don't know where he's going to be at coming this
year. He probably going to get cut, so you get cap relief from that.
He might cut Pete. Ramchek got the degenerative knee. You don't know where he at. And Penny was lipping off the field. I don't even know what the fuck is up with that.
Because at least you could have been like, okay, if Penny's hurt or if Penny's healthy, that's cool. And then, you know, maybe you could just slide James Hurst to left guard. So it kind of, you know, you kind of fix two positions, you know, in one type of thing. Nope. You need a running back too. Nope. We've been screaming for that since last offseason. We got fucking David Johnson and fucking corpses back there trying to fucking spell AK. You need a running back too. You need another fucking wide receiver. Like, ooh, you got holes, bro. If you have this bundle of picks, I do not want to see, unless you trading like a later round pick and there's just a guy that you just love, right? I don't want to see this moving up and trying to just target this one fucking player, because y'all are not one fucking player away. Please,
bro. Look what happened in 2017 when y'all stood pat, played the draft. Look, we will forever.
Oh boy,
decry the myth. On Patrick Mahomes.
Ryan, we could have just skipped right past that little subplot. Just could have kept going.
Sorry. But still, look, you stand pat and you get a top 5. Cornerback, you get the top 5 offensive linemen. You got Alvin Kamara, one of the best, best.
It was a draft class that should have prepared them to win a Super Bowl.
Should have.
Yeah. If you can't take away 2018 because of what happened, but that team, because of that draft class, should have got them a Super Bowl, 100%.
It's though that draft class is the only reason they're still pretty good.
Still relevant, bro.
Still relevant. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah. You know, so stand pat. I mean, they need to, I don't know what you gotta do if you gotta bring in scout consultants, but they got to knock this draft out the park, bro. Out the park. They did pretty good last year. Well, you know, we'll see with Penning. Alante looked like a good pick. Olave is a good pick. But they didn't have any more picks than that. But to come away with 3 potentially good players is good. If you could do that, man, and after you get the Sean Payton hole and come away with 4 or 5 good players that Phil needs, bro, like that'll be huge for this team. Huge, man. And offense, man, like it's just so sad watching offense like this, bro. Like we've seen it every week, even in wins, even in like the Eagles game. Yeah, they won that game, but that was because of Marshawn Lattimore getting that pick 6. You know, they barely scored 13 points in that game.
Bro, we knew before that pick 6, bro, that shit was about to be a comeback.
Bro, and we've seen it week after week where Pete Carmichael puts together a nice little opening script. They move down the field. Maybe they score. Maybe don't. Maybe they get another 3 points. And that's it. Like, that's it. The offense is just dead. They need to figure that shit out, bro.
You talked about 3 points.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talk about getting, we need a new kicker, nigga. We need a new kicker.
Period.
Like, I don't, it's to the point where it's like, I saw, well, maybe some bring in some competition.
Yeah, nope. No, I'm beyond competition now. First, nah, I was like, oh, just let somebody compete with him. No.
Bye.
You can't play around with kickers, bro. Either you're good or you're not, man. Like, you know, no.
When he was good, he was good, but he's not good anymore.
And we've seen it. We've seen that before. You know, Hartley, he had a run, he was good, and he wasn't anymore. He was out the league after that. Like, you just got to strike when it's hot, and, you know, Lutz ain't hot no more. So go out and you need a kicker. You may need a punter. You need to look at – and that's another thing that gets overlooked is special teams, man. Like, special teams was trash this year. The return game was trash. They were pretty good at covering kickoffs, but return was trash. They weren't many, like, you know, Sean Payton. Under Sean Payton the last couple of years, he was using the special teams as a weapon. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was – Taysom on block punts or, you know, fake punts, all kind of stuff, man. You're supposed to have your special teams as a weapon, and it's just not been good. And, again, that comes down to the head coach and the vision. Just so many issues with this team, bro. And it's, you know, it was a season that was disappointing. Yeah, they, you know, they went on a nice little stretch run in the end, but at the end of the day, you're 7-10, bro. And this team thought – the team thought, not us, the team thought they were good enough to get to the playoffs and challenge for the Super Bowl. And they were never that. Even though they were furling with the playoffs because the division is trash.
Oh, no.
I don't care. They were never, ever, ever in the mix to be a true contender.
Can I tell you who is picking number 21 and 21st in the draft right now? Can I tell you who's picking? Who Jacksonville Jaguars. 9-8.
The man who we had on the Zoom
interview. Bro. Zoom. I don't even know if they did a video Zoom, bro. It could have been just audio. Could have been just a chat room, bro. Just like
had that man on computer audio, bro.
Just makes me hot, Brian. Hot. Man,
this man getting a call center job or something, bro. Come to run your franchise, bro. Like, be serious. Like, are you a serious organization or not, man? Jesus.
Hello, thank you for calling customer service. This is Doug. How can I help you?
I'm pissed off, Angelo.
21st overall pick in the draft, bro. It might get lower because they in the playoffs, clinched the playoffs yesterday. They've won five games in a row.
And they were picking number one overall last year.
That's how quickly it can turn, bro. And that's why I said at the beginning of this podcast, man, as long as you got DA at the helm, bro, like, it's like this. Let me just list off these teams who finish who are currently at 7-10 with the Saints. Atlanta, you got the Falcons, you got the Panthers. Two of those wins for the Panthers came against the Saints, Brian. Shit, bro. Come on. The Saints, the Titans, who, like, they've had a monumental fucking collapse. I got the stat right here. Let me say, they went from 7-3 to 7-10, bro. That
was amazing.
You got Cleveland and you got the Jets, and the Jets started off hot as well too, and they've lost the last six games. That's in the company you're in. Like, that's where you are, you know, how you're matched up with the rest of the league. That's a shit place to be as a team, as a fan base. It's just like, it's that's just like, ugh, like, what are we? Like, what are we? Ugh. I don't know what they are. I did want to say this too. Did want to say this, you know, before the off season begins in like 2 months and whatever and shit really gets popping off for real. I'm saying this as a Saints fan. I'm saying this to other Saints fans. Please, please, please do not be emotionally invested to any player on the Saints. Please don't. Please don't. I do think there are certain players who are safe. Chris Olave, Trevor Penning, and Shahid.
That's about it.
And McCoy. Probably McCoy, because they just paid him, extended him. Yeah. That's probably all the fucking people on the team who are safe. Now, if you're looking at it from a contract perspective, Honey Badger's probably safe, as well as Marcus May is probably safe. Yeah. Honestly, bro, I'm saying, bro, can we re-up Daniel Sorensen? Because he's... Nigga's starving. It's just thirsty, Ryan. Like, this is where shit is. Like, I'm thinking of, I want Daniel Sorensen back, bro. That's what I know I have a problem.
White Mike,
that's what I know
my team is white back. Mike out your boy. White Mike out your boy.
Looking like a white Marcus Williams in this bitch. Just rangy, bro. Just
rangy.
I'm sick, bro. I'm sick. But I'm saying this, probably Alante too. I think Alante's probably safe.
Yeah.
But anyone else, I'm saying, I don't know if AK's safe. I don't know if Marshawn Lattimore's safe, bro. I don't know who is safe on this team, because I really do think, now, whether they move players or not, I think they're willing to take calls on almost anybody on the team right now, except for the players I've said who are excluded. I really do, bro. I think they'll take them. Now, taking a call, because obviously, you know, there's a lot of AK talk happened during the, you know, the trade deadline, and like there was report, like, did the Beals call? What? The Saints are probably going to pick up the phone and listen to offers from players like AK, from players like Marshawn Lattimore. Whether they decide to trade players of that elk or not remains to be seen. But I do think legitimately they will listen. And we talked about this a little bit during the Zoom, during the Panthers game. But if you go into this offseason and if you move an AK, who the offense has already pretty much been shitty, and I know Pete Carmichael's going to be the scapegoat. He's going to be the team. I already see the statement, Ryan. The team and Pete Carmichael have a mutually agreed for Pete to – whatever, bro. It's already written, bro. So Pete going to be the scapegoat. They're going to have another offensive coordinator, someone else in as OC, and DA is going to have his job saved. But if you either trading away one, a player who has pretty much been the offense, as terrible as it's been, at least you had a one piece where you knew you could count on. Or on the flip side, trade the best player you have on defense. Like, at that point, we might have to go to airline, and we might have to start picking in and calling for Mickey's job, bro. We gonna have to do it, bro.
Got to. I'm done, bro.
You said on the Zoom, bro, if they trade Marshawn, like, you done. You said you was out.
I'm done. I'm done, bro. I'm done. I'm done. I'm hanging up the mic. Honestly, but seriously, it depends. Like, I don't want to trade it at all. But if they did, I don't want no CD Deuce type shit, bro. I don't want to hear nothing about no. Even just one first would be piss me off, bro. Like, this team search high and low for great cornerbacks. And Sean has shown it over and over and over and over again.
I think you got to get it. You would have to get at least close to what the Jags got for Jalen Ramsey, bro. Close.
Exactly. No, I would want what they got for Jalen
Ramsey. I would too. I would too, 100%.
Like, seriously, bro. Like, I don't want no shit. Like, hang up the phone. Like, if they're not willing, hang up the phone. I'd rather keep him. Like, you, so I mean, what are you gonna do? You gonna get rid of him, and then what? You gonna be looking for another corner? Oh no, they're gonna say, oh well, look, we got a Debo and we got Alante Taylor. They played well while Sean was out. Man, listen,
you could already hear the justification. You could already hear it.
I already hear it, man. That's man. Sean changes the game, bro. So you can't you don't get rid of your game changers. AK, he is a answer on offense. Like, he is one of the. He is one of the answers on the offense that desperately needs to improve. So you keep him, man. Like, you keep him. I honestly, look, I understand Sometimes you got to trade players, especially, look, you know, AK might want to leave. AK might be like, man, look, I'm ready to go somewhere. And, you know, if that's the point, you know, then you listen to offers.
Wouldn't even blame him, bro.
I wouldn't blame him at all. And then you go ahead and listen to offers, but don't short yourself at least, bro. Don't do that CD Deuce bullshit where you just
trade out of spite.
Just trading out of spite, not even like helping yourself out the situation. At least help yourself, shit.
I done said on this podcast before, like, there were some teams who didn't even know CD Deuce was available for the trade,
exactly,
bro. And would have said literally, like, we would have traded more than that.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it all goes back to the whole thing, and this is where I worry about this team so much. And I know we can talk about Sean, we can talk about all his shortcomings and talk about all the things he didn't do and all that, and it's all justified. But Sean not being in the building has hid a lot of the dumb shit that wouldn't have happened with him being in the building.
Right.
Exactly. Like now we're seeing the team at its full stupidity that Sean probably. I'm serious, bro. Like I'm not right, being, like
right.
He made up for probably years of shit. And I'm not absolving Sean of everything because he has had his problems. He's had his issues.
No question.
But like I would say, like front office wise, and like a big. Bro, there's so much shit that probably we have no idea about that Sean was like, nah, we're not doing that. That because he's not that voice in the room anymore, it's like, oh, okay. Like, I'm pretty sure it went like Dennis Allen went to Mickey and was like, oh, you know, CD, he was being a little abrasive in practice, and you know, we have Bradley Roby, and we feel like that can. And Mickey, like, oh, okay, look, I can trade. I'm like, it's, and if that was Sean, Sean'd be like, sit your ass down. Like, no, we're not training them. We're not doing it.
Unbelievable, man.
I didn't even make the point I wanted to make is that with Sean not being in the building, the team has even gotten worse at self-scouting themselves than they were in the past. And that, and to me, that's my worry as a fan going into this offseason, going into, even if they get the Sean Payton haul with the Broncos or whatever team it could be, like, it's like, can this team can't even scout itself, bro. Like, I just keep thinking about that Marcus Davenport trade, bro, that they could have made at the trade deadline to the Rams or to whoever, whatever team wanted him at the time. It's like, you could have gotten
a day two
pick for a player that finishes the season with half a sack and got ejected. Like, you could have gotten either a second and a third.
He was coming off his half sack game, bro. What you talking about?
Oh, you didn't see he hit Devontae Adams. He did like a little helicopter. Right? The team can't self scout itself, bro. And
look, self scouting is as important as scouting pro players and draft picks, bro. It is 100%. So important, bro. So important, man.
Anything else from the, like, it's not even a whole bunch to talk about the game.
The game is the game, man. It's like,
I don't give two shits about that. I will say, speaking of self-scouting, and this kind of goes back, you said it earlier in the podcast about the interior defensive line being shit. Like, can we learn to stop the run again? Like, ooh. is that possible? Like, can we do something to try to stop the run? Because it has been awful this season.
Awful. And we never did figure out how to stop quarterbacks escaping, bro.
No.
Like, that's what kept the Panthers alive, man. It was, you know, it was the one stat that wasn't on that Sam Darnold stat was his, you know, his legs, man. That's what kept him alive offensively.
Anyway, I've ranted enough, you know.
Man, we got the whole offseason, bro. It's going to be a lot of ranting.
Oh, bro. Gonna need some. Gonna just put, like, I need the water tank where your water dispenser, bro. I just need to put one in my office, bro. Because I'm gonna need to stay hydrated. Because these niggas gonna wear my voice out this offseason, bro. I can just feel it in my bones. Can I just one small rant? Just one. This has nothing to do with the Saints. If I see one more fucking thing about the Bengals being upset about this fucking coin toss that may determine home field, bro. It's like, y'all, these, you people are really complaining about this when this man almost died on the field. Like, he died. He his heart he stopped.
Die. Yeah, he did die on the field. And
on the field.
You know, you won the North. You won the North. Y'all good. You know what I'm saying?
And y'all really out. It's, and this is, and I tweeted it when he got hurt, of just how, as soon as he, like, I thank God he's improving and all that. But I knew as soon as that was done, it's all back to the whole gladiator. Like, I'm a yep. fan. Like it's like, how are we, like, not everyone, right? But it's on my radar, bro. Like, I've been blocking people in Bengals Twitter that just, like, what are y'all talking about? Like, it's a foot. Like, did we not learn that it's just a fucking game of football? Like, this man almost died on the fucking field. But yeah, it's right back to it. Like, what? Well, how does that affect my team? Like, this is our Super Bowl. This is our playoff chance. This is shut up.
This, unbelievable, man.
Like, what? Joe Mixon did that as a touchdown celebration when he scored a touchdown today. Like, he took a coin out, he flipped it. It's like, what are y'all doing? Sorry, that's on my radar, bro. It's under my skin. Like, it's like we learned nothing from not even a week ago, bro. Like, he got hurt. Not even a week. Well, we said it, right? Like, give it a couple, days, couple of weeks, bro.
It's over.
It's out the cycle, bro. It's out the cycle. Back to me. As we close this podcast, as we close this 2022 season for the Saints, this is our first season where we have done this at the community, watching games together, enjoying everything together. And it's like, I'm glad that we've been able to do this, because it would have been dark and grim, and even not being connected to the team emotionally anymore, bruh. Like, watching games like this by yourself.
Oh, man. That's crazy, bro. I just wouldn't even want to be sitting in front of the TV watching these motherfuckers this season. Hell no, man.
No. But for us to be able to create a community, a place where we could all watch the games together, have fun, have a lot of laughs.
Like, I'd be looking for my people now, bro. I'd be looking for Brian. I'd be looking for Silverhead. I'd be looking for, you know, Sherm. All of them, bro. You know, G, all of them, man.
Joey, G.
Joey. Landon.
All London, bro. Man.
London. My bad, London. I'm bad with names. Fuck it. You know. Pelé.
But it's been great. So we want, I personally wanted to thank everyone, just for, even if you're not a Patreon, if you listen to us right now, thank you. If you are a Patreon and you've been supporting us a month or a year or however long it is, thank you truly.
Seriously, we need it. You know, I'm not saying we're hurting out here, but like, we really appreciate it as we've grown. You know, the cost of running the podcast has grown too. You know what I'm saying? So we really appreciate you guys. We got that little letter from California.
Bro,
I'm like, man, what the fuck is this shit, man?
$800 for a business? An LLC tax? That's how you feeling, Cali?
Just to exist.
Just to exist, bro. Just to be open. as a startup.
God damn. But yeah, we really appreciate it, man. Like, y'all, our Patreons, I just can't thank you enough, man. Like, just the year we had last year with the, you know, with the party, the whole meetup thing, we had the draft thing, bro. It was just one of the best years I had in a while, bro. I really appreciate everybody. And it couldn't have happened without the listeners.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, we'll be honest, like, me and Ryan have talked about, like, what the plan is for the offseason. We're going to go back to the Senior Bowl. We're going to go to the Combine. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know, bro. don't know if that's going to happen.
We ain't even worried about the Saints no more. We was in the Discord talking about hooking up for the fresh quarter fest. They ain't even worried about
fresh
the
quarter, bro. We and the fucking in the Zoom today, nigga, saying shit was so depressing. We started talking about politics, bro. talking about what's happening in Brazil. Like,
I'm saying, man.
But truly, thank all y'all. We, as is typical in the off season, we know that the listens will dip and things like that. And as the season starts getting cooked up again and things like that, it'll pick up. But truly, thank y'all for everything, whether you're a listener on the pod, YouTube, however you listen, if you're a Patreon, thank y'all if you participate in the Zooms, even if you listen and you just do a retweet on fucking social media, all that helps across the board. It really fucking does. So we just wanted to thank y'all for being with us this season. We know it was a season that y'all could have been like, nah, we done. We done. Like, we don't want to fucking think about these dudes no more. Mm-hmm. But y'all didn't. I also like to say that in the three games that I attended this year, the Saints did not lose them all. They didn't. They won that Raiders game, and that was a great game to be at. That was like a highlight, bro. Like,
yeah,
you could have just bottled that entire experience, and
yeah, bro.
It was good, man. It was good. So we're gonna get out of here. We'll be back soon. I can't even tell you, don't even know when we'll be back, bro. But I just have a feeling like this offseason going to have a lot of fucking emergency podcasts, bro. Like, we're going
to
be.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. It will be shit to talk about. And we're going to do the draft. We're going to scout players. We're going to talk scout free agency. We're going to talk about some playoffs, NFL stuff. So we ain't going nowhere. We're going to keep at it, man.
We're going to keep at it. We're not going nowhere. So thank y'all truly. Again, it's just football. Even with the season being down as it was, don't take this shit seriously. Like, at the end of the day, it's just a game. But thank y'all from the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back soon with an episode, probably talking about the playoffs, unless Sean Payton gets traded. I don't know, but we'll be back. Also, real quick, did Steve Wilkes finish with more wins or the same amount of wins as DA did this season, bro? I gotta check this.
Did he?
I gotta check this.
Let me see.
I like how you both type in. This is great podcasting.
Come on. Fucking.
Okay, so. Wait, does it not tell you?
We're both 7 and 10.
Ain't that some shit, bro? No, but no, one of them he don't get credit for because Matt Rhule. So I'm trying to.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know if he got more wins than DA, but he got like one. Like, it's close, bro. This man's later in the season, bro.
The middle of the season, man.
Okay, so he won 5 games and he lost 6. Okay, so he was 2 away.
Two away, bro. Imagine if he had the whole season.
Oh, he for sure would have had more wins than DA. For sure. Without question. Anyway, I just wanted to check that quick stat real quick. Anyway, we'll be back soon. Thank y'all so much for the support. With that, we're out.
Peace.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.